We're going to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read a verse. We're going to pray, and then we'll get started. It's a little different order than I usually do. One verse. The verse I'm going to read is not the one you're looking at. But it's a familiar verse. But I want to read you one verse, and we're going to spend our time there in Mark chapter 4. Jesus was about to be crucified, the night before he was crucified, he was meeting with his disciples. And he starts out in chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, toward the end of that chapter, in verse 27, he kind of comes around full circle, and he says again, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, that little phrase, it caught me the other day. And he says, "Peace I leave with you." We talk about having peace, and, you know, when the Jewish people would greet one another, they say, "Shalom," which simply means peace be to you. They would say, "Peace be to you when you come, peace be to you when you kind of like aloha, you know, coming and going. But peace be to you." And that's good. But Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." He says, "I'm leaving it with you because I'm going to heaven here in a few minutes. I'm going to die. I'm going to heaven in about 40 days here." They didn't say that right then, but that's how long it was going to be. But he says, "Peace I leave with you." And then he says, "My peace." There's a distinction made there. He says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And I have spoken on this topic of his peace several times before. And I've spent time comparing the peace that Jesus the Lord gives to the artificial peace the Lord tries to convince us. I'm sorry, the world. The peace that the world tries to convince us they're giving us. I've talked about that. But I hit this a little bit different here this morning. This is the peace. It says, "My peace I leave unto you." Watch this. This is the peace that Jesus has for us. But I want you to think about it this way. This is the peace that Jesus had when he was living on earth. He lived on earth as a spirit-filled man. He was tempted in all matters such as we are. It says in Hebrews 4, he says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Listen, he went through the same things we did. He had a lot of the same problems we had, but the fact is he did it with the peace that God brings. He had a peace. He says, "I want to give you," Jesus said, "I want to give you the same peace that I have." That's what Jesus said. "I want to give you the same peace that he had." The same peace. Did he struggle? Listen, the night before he was crucified, not long after this passage, he goes into the garden. He says, "Lord, if it be your will, can we stop this thing?" But he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will. Thy will be done." They came to the garden and decided, and when they came to arrest him, old Peter decided to slice the ear off of one of them. And he says, "Don't go there. You're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword." Listen, I could have called 12 legions of angels to come and save me. And he calmly went as the sheep scattered, so to speak, as the Bible says. He says, "I can give you my peace." You ever say, "I wish I had their peace about this. I wish I could handle things like they do. Well, I just wish I could see life as they see it." Jesus says, "My peace I'll give to you. And you can have it." Let's pray. And we're going to talk about the peace of Jesus. The peace of Jesus. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. I thank you for the unseen hand. I thank you you see us through the storm. And Lord, I pray that you just be with us here this morning. Give us your word. I want to be a blessing to our folks here. We thank you for the peace that you offer us. And may we see the peace that you had. Lord, to be one here this morning doesn't know Christ as their Savior. That's what we need to attend to get access to that peace. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior, we've trusted Christ. We know we're sinners. We know that we're only saved by the grace and the mercy of God. What a peace and a deliverance it is to know that our eternity is no longer in our hands, because we certainly couldn't have handled it. But our eternity is in your hands. Thank you for the peace that you give us. Lord, may we have your peace. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. When Jesus was in the garden and he was talking about, Lord, if you're willing to change this, it'd be okay with me. That's kind of the human side of him talking. And yet the divine side says, but I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Bible says he actually sweat great drops of blood. Scientifically, medically, they say that a person can be under such stress that actually little vessels begin to burst under the skin. And as he's sweating, literally the blood is coming out on the surface. The sweat is carrying out the blood. If you knew all that the crucifixion was about, it's garrus. But Jesus knew it very clearly. He's God. He knows exactly what was going to happen and what was facing him. He knew what he was going to be running into. Jesus needed and he received peace from his Father. We need to have the same peace that Jesus has. And Jesus is offering the same peace that he has. In our passage in Mark, verse 4, I want to kind of walk through this story. It's an interesting little story. And when I was thinking about his peace, this came to my mind. In Mark chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus has been teaching and... You'll see that here in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Mark says, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, and begins to teach. Now, there was such a crowd there. That the fact is, they had a tendency to kind of keep wanting to get closer. We have some preschool, Sunday school teachers and so forth. I don't know if you ever noticed, but the kids, you tell the story, and the kids just keep kind of working their way up and working up closer and closer. And people do the same thing. So actually, he said, tell you what, let's go out in the ship. And so they put a ship out there. So there's a little bit of water between them and the land. It kind of gave a good distance. But the water actually ends up being a good reflection. I remember this is years ago, and I was thinking about this when I was, it has nothing to do with our story, but... years and years ago, I sang with a group called the Colonials. They were kind of a country gospel bluegrass group, and I'd play a little mandolin and a little guitar and some other things. But before I was part of their group, I had gone out to Cascade Lake out in Snydersburg. All right, you all know where Cascade Lake, Snydersburg, which is a suburb of Hampstead. If you know what Hampstead, I know we got some folks who know where Hampstead is. It's a suburb of Baltimore. But anyway, Snydersburg is just kind of a wide spot out there in the middle. But there's Cascade Lake, and we used to go out to Cascade Lake. And they started doing these concerts out on the pier at Cascade Lake. And I didn't know who the Colonials were, but I said, let's go out here. And they're a country gospel group. And they were out on the end of the pier. And it was nighttime, and it was a full moon that night. And so help me, it was just as clear as it could be, kind of like the last couple nights have been. And the moon was over on the side, and it was shining a beam right across the lake behind them. And then you know what they started singing? There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed, it sends out a light. I'd never heard the song before. A light that I might see.
And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. It goes on and on. It put shivers down my back. And I didn't know it ever pastored a church called Lighthouse Baptist Church at that point, but I just thought this was a really neat little thought there. And you say, well, they were out in the water. Well, the thing is, this is what I was looking at. The sound actually reflected off the water and almost kind of made a little amphitheater out there. And so this is what Jesus was doing. He cast out into the boat, and he went out a little ways, and he taught them. When he got finished teaching them, we look at verse 35. Now, skip all the way to 35. I'm sorry, I wanted to sing that song. Anyway, verse 35, it says, "In the same day when the evening was coming," so the nights that they've been teaching, the night's over, "he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." So basically they're saying, well, he was already in his ship. He said, "I tell you what, guys, we're already out this far. Why don't we just go ahead and go on to the other side?" So they were in the ship. They just go ahead and go to the other side. Multitudes were there. So in other words, the ship had been a staging area, so to speak, to teach the multitude. Now he's going to use that same ship to be a staging area, if it will, to teach the disciples an important lesson. Look at verse 37. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." So that word arose, I'm going to kind of get a minute. That means there was caused to be. There arose, but a word gives the idea there was caused to be. This was, the storm was there, and it was there for a purpose. There was caused to be a great storm. That word "great" there means very big, large, and loud. We had our first house that we built down in Hampstead off of Grace Road. It's kind of set a little knoll, and there was nothing but a big field in front of us. You couldn't see any other house really besides my folks' house right kind of over behind some pine trees. And the wind would come up across there, and it would just howl. And we had some nice Anderson windows in our house there, but the window in our bedroom would whistle when the wind come up. I mean, the whole house would just roar. And it had a little copper seal on there, it was supposed to be the seal there, and that thing would go, it would go, and sometimes it would go, we wake you up in the middle of the night, I've never heard anything like this. We thought, what in the world's coming through the window? It was awful. But anyway, the wind blows. There was a great wind. It was loud. It got our attention. There was a great wind, and that word there, wind, means a whirlwind, a tempest. That is something that comes in from the outside, unexpected, and rattles and shakes you to the bones until we're unstable. And everything that was stable around us is moving. It says, "And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." Those ships were not probably much bigger than this platform, if it was that big. And the waves had been coming in. It really wasn't raining. It was just a windstorm that would come up there on the Sea of Galilee. It was not unusual, just the way it would come through. And so then it started pushing the storm surge, if you will, started pushing the waves. And the waves were coming over the bow of the ship, until it says the ship was full. In other words, they were in a situation that totally overwhelmed things. Things were now out of control. There was more there for them than they could deal with. Verse 38. "And he," Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." In other words, he's in the back end of the ship, back of the stern, snoozing away, unconcerned. Listen, it was not because he had been knocked out
hit on the head when the ship was being tossed about, but Jesus had gotten in the back seat, put his head on a cushion, and was on purpose sleeping and apparently having a pretty good time. He was gone. He was out of it. The little ship was being tossed all over. And by now there were shouts and men trying to bail out the water. It was not that there was a big ship. There was plenty of commotion to wake Jesus up, and maybe it did. But he was calm enough to apparently just go back to sleep through the whole thing. Now, are you picturing this? They got this little boat, and they're doing their thing. And then the wind kind of, I was doing that on purpose. You get my microphone there. All of a sudden, it's going, whoosh, 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 and here comes the waves. Now, wait a minute. If it's not that big a ship, his feet's getting wet or something. But he's just having a time. He's just riding along. He's just snoozing. Now, look at the next thing here. And they wake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What's the matter with you, Jesus? You don't care that we're all going to die here? Are you crazy? Have you no concern? Doesn't it matter to you that we're all going to die and we're going to lose everything? You're the master, and you taught us all these things a while ago, but what good are all the things you taught me over the years if we're all going to die right here in the ship? And he rose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. The word arose, when it says he arose, he got up, it says he rebuked the wind. That's a funny little word there. It means to fix a valuation upon, to put it in its place, and to show it for what it really is, a bunch of air. Oh, that's right, the wind's blowing, isn't it? Peace be still. Do you know what it means? Shut up. It was a great wind. It was loud. All this stuff, all this commotion. Oh, be quiet. And it says that the wind ceased. That means it was cut off. So you got, he says, peace, be still. That was it. You see, to God, a wind is no big deal. It's no big deal. And it says, and there was a great calm. He said there was a great storm. Same word. There was a loud, big storm. Now it says there was a great calm. The silence was deafening. The silence was so quiet, it's almost like it hurt your ears. This has nothing to do with anything either, but when I was 18 years old, I was telling my son, my family, I took a trip to California back. We drove out, and we went down by Nashville. And we went into the studio where Elvis did a lot of his recordings. And I sat down there and I played the piano where Elvis was. It was pretty cool. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. Anyway, you're a beautiful audience. Anyway, I sat down and you walked into the studio and they had the thing was so soundproofed. It felt like he was sucking the sound out of your ears. It was the strangest thing. It was so, I mean, I could be this close and you couldn't tell what I was saying. I mean, I could be talking this loud and then you lost it because that's what the way the studios used to be. And he says, listen, he said, peace be still. And it stopped. All it takes for the Lord of creation to stop the whirlwind is for him to simply tell it to. Verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful?
How is it that ye have no faith? Fearful means timid about the things that, things are not going to go well. They're faithless. I don't know. Some people live life skittish. They're worried about every little thing all day long. I used to think if I didn't worry, I wasn't a good person. There's a problem. I ought to be concerned about it. They have a problem, I ought to be concerned about their problem. They got a problem, I ought to be concerned about their problem. I ought to figure out a way to take care of it. And there's to a certain extent, that's good. But I'm not God. And there's some things I can't do anything about. And the fact is, you spend a lot of time worrying about things that never happen. Or things that you could never do anything about, even if they did happen. As if we're God. As if we could change it. As if we could make a difference. Listen, I can encourage people. I can help them along. I can pray for them. Let them get God in on what's going on. But the fact is, I'm not God, neither are you. But God's God. God's God. So he says, so what's the problem? The problem was they forgot who was in charge. So why are you so fearful? Why are you timid about that? Why do you think you're going to die? I'll get that in a second. Verse 41, and they feared and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They feared. That means they actually were frightened. They were alarmed in all of the situation. God was trying to remind them that the Lord is in charge. So what are you afraid of? The Lord's in charge. What are you afraid of? The will of God? He's in charge. How can Jesus sleep through a storm? He had peace. Was Jesus not concerned about us? We're all going to die. Oh, he was concerned. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2 says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, so he giveth his beloved sleep. Got trouble sleeping? Chances are you're worrying about a bunch of stuff you can't do anything with it anyway. And by the way, you can't do anything while you're asleep, so you might as well just go ahead and sleep while you're supposed to sleep and deal with tomorrow morning. Understand? So they said this, and we have said this. We're in a storm. It's loud, it's blowing, it's coming at us from all sides. It's a whirlwind. Here's this, and then it tosses this way, it tosses, then it comes from behind, it comes from the front. It's just twisting us all around. We're doing our best to get through the storm, and finally we say, Quan, what? Lord, don't you care that I'm dying here? Are you asleep? He's asleep. Watch me. The disciples, first of all, could only think of their own situation. Don't you know we're all going to die here? Don't you care that we die? They apparently were not all that concerned that Jesus was going to die. They were so focused on themselves that they forgot that Jesus was in the boat also. They forgot that Jesus was in the same situation as they are. They forgot that if a ship takes them down, it's going to take Jesus down too. Carest not that you are going to die, Jesus? Why did Jesus teach us all these things, and why should we bother to learn today if we're all going to just die tonight? That's just it. I taught you and instructed you for something in the future, so if you're going to be in the future, then you're not going to die. He's got a job for us. You're not going to die because I have things for you to do, and that is why I taught you. Let me give you this. Jesus had peace in the midst of the storm. Let me give you several things. Why did Jesus have peace in the midst of the storm? Well, Jesus, as a spirit-filled man and was still so much at peace, he was able to sleep through the storm because, first, he had faith. He had faith. Why isn't Jesus as upset about this as I am? Why are we the only ones around here that have any sense? Jesus believes God, and you don't. Why wasn't he upset? Well, he believes in God. Well, why are we upset? He says, because why are you so fearful? Why do you have so little faith? Do you believe in God? Do you believe who God is? Do you believe in his character? Just got through this in. Why isn't the pastor as upset about this thing as I am? Doesn't the pastor love me? Doesn't he care that we perish? The pastor took it to the Lord. And what am I going to do about it? Keep praying about it. Do what I can. Give me a call, I'll help you. But I'm not God. Never will be. Pretty good looking, but not God. I told some lady the other day, I said, my wife got a good deal when she married me. I'm a whole lot more man than I was when she married me. Made a good investment. Anyway, why isn't we have to take the Lord at his word. Let me read some things. You can go back and read them later. Mark 5, in fact, this one real close to you. Mark 5, 34 says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, the daughter is dead, thy troublest thou the master any further. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. You realize the opposite of fear is faith. Fear is not knowing what's going to happen. Fear of the unknown is one of the greatest things people will sit in the middle of muck and mire and things that are wrong, and they know it's wrong, but they'll stay there because they're afraid to go into something they don't know. I don't understand what's behind that door. Do you want what's behind that curtain? We want to trade what's in this box over here. I don't know. But I do know this, God's always good. As David says, and the Lord is for me. He's all for me. He's for you. Matthew 19, 26 says, and Jesus beheld them. He said unto them, with men this is impossible. With God all things are possible. Mark 9, 23, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So who are you trusting in? You or God? You're scared because you think you are the only option for help, and we've forgotten the God factor. But God. You go through the Bible, read your Bible, and by the way, you should do that. It's a real good book. Anyway, it says, but God. You're reading along this and this and this, but God. This is what reality is. I know, but God made reality, so he can change reality. Jesus had peace in the midst of the storm because he had faith. I'll give you another one. Jesus had peace because Jesus trusted, and it's kind of the same thing, in the promises of God. You got to have faith in who God is. You believe in God, you believe also in me. But then what are we believing? The promises of God. Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. That then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither be of desolation of wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You need to know the promises of God, and then you trust them, and you live by them. This is what he said. Now, problem is a lot of folks don't know the promises of God. Well, get out the book, because the book is full of them. Or get, at least go get one of those little Bibles that says the promises of God and read through that. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but it's kind of nice to find them on your own because it puts them in context. But learn the promises of God. Let me give you another one. He had faith. He trusted the promises of God. Watch this. Because Jesus knew that his Father would take care of him. He had faith in his Father. I know Saul says, but I have a heavenly Father above. Listen, we pray, our Father who art in heaven. So that's real nice. Jesus had a Father. What about me? You've got a Father. Jesus had a Father-Son relationship with God. Well, I wish I could say God is my Father, and maybe I could have the same peace. You can. But you have to decide who's going to be your Father. 2 Corinthians 6:17, and I can't spend a lot of time on these, but I'm just trying to put it in perspective. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, God's more than happy to take you to be his child. But some of us don't want to like to live by his rules. So we live outside the house. Or we might be going to the house one day, but we're kind of living outside the house. And you know what happens when you get ready to pray? Your heart smites you. Your heart says, he's not going to hear you. You're out here doing your own thing. Well, if I was him, I don't think I'd listen to me either. Well, how do you fix that thing? Oh, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it means to say the same thing about it as God says about it. It's wrong. Should have stopped it. Should have been done. But he's faithful and just to forgive us. He's just in that he's already paid for it. And he's faithful. He does it every time. In fact, there's no reason why he can't be faithful in doing it because he already paid for our sins on the cross. They're already paid for. All he's asking for us to do is come and get the forgiveness. His mercies are new every morning. We don't have to live wondering if he's going to hear us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. But if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Matthew 6:27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which to say is, today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Let me give you another, kind of on the same thing. Jesus knew that his Father loved him. So I wish I had a heavenly Father. You do have a heavenly Father. Well, I wonder, he loves me. But Jesus had peace because he's the Son of God. We are sons of God. John 1:11 said, he came unto his own received him not, but as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. John 20:17, Jesus had just been risen from the grave. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father. But he said, go to my brethren. He's talking about to the disciples. To say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Romans 8, 16 says, the spirit of self beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall be revealed in us. Listen, we are the children of God. How did he have peace? He had faith. He believed the promises. He lived by the promises. He was a son of God. He was a child of God. Let me give you one more. Jesus had peace because he knew he was in the will of God. He was in the will of God because the Lord of creation was not going to let Jesus die too soon before his hour. God has a job for Jesus to do. God has a job for you to do. Frankly, it's kind of strange, and maybe this is a little overstatement, but until God's finished with me, I'm immortal. Now, my body may be bruised and battered and beaten, but I'm immortal till he's done. Now, there's always one thing that I could do, though. I can go out on a limb and do something stupid. And he may or may not pull me out of the fire. But if God go out on a limb where he told me to go, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How's he going to do it if you're dead? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. God is not willing to let you die until he's finished. You can't stop. You can step out of God's will and purpose, destroy yourself, but as long as you're seeking to trust and obey God, God has your back. God's not going to let a little thing like a giant storm in our life to keep us from doing God's will. Let me say that again. God's not willing to let a little thing like a giant storm keep us from doing his will. All he has to do is say, hush. Who are you serving? Jesus says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Listen, if you want to have the peace and assurance that God is going to take care of you, make sure you're where God wants you to be. Now, again, this is our choice. We can have this. We just need to obey the known will of God. Now, sometimes the known will of God puts us in some precarious positions. But that's okay. You've all heard many of you have heard my message about my wife's one-minute sermon that it took me 45 minutes to preach. But she gave me when we first came up here. First day I was here, everything I thought this is going to be great. I'm going to be the pastor. I've been part of a ministry for 20 years in Maryland. Never been the senior pastor. And I came up the first day. The night before I locked the door, the office was closed where I came from. There was no more paycheck, no more nothing. I came up here. It was 25 people, $350,000 mortgage, not enough money to pay the bills. But I knew God can do it, and he has. The first day I came up here, it was rough. Got chased off the lawns with the dog. People looked at me like I had three heads. I thought, what in the world? Where did I move? Outer Mongolia or something? It was like all of a sudden it was different. Just couldn't believe it. And I just started getting worked up, and I worked up, and I thought, well, I'm just tired. It was a long day yesterday, and I'm heading home. We lived about 50 minutes away, and the further I got down the road, the worse it got. I said, oh, my soul, I can't do this. I can't pastor church. I don't know what I'm doing. What am I going to do? And I went home. I told my wife. I said, Carter, I said, I think I made a mistake. She said, what? I think I made a mistake. Mistake about what? About going up there. What do you mean, going up there? We just gave your job away. We got four kids to feed. And she was very nice about it, but it was kind of like, what do you mean? And I said, I just don't know if I can do this. And she said to me, she said, and this is the whole message. She said, Sterl, and you're going to call me Sterl. She calls me Sterl, short for Sterling. Sterl, she said, you know what? You asked God to let you walk on water. Now you're looking at the waves. You're right. That's my problem. You know what I did? All of a sudden, it looked at me, didn't look at God. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, God, don't you care that we die? All our kids are going to starve to death. Be wearing rags. This is going to be the worst thing ever happened. The worst thing ever happened to my kids. I'm going to destroy them for the rest of their life. Why? As if God can't take care of us. Jesus offers to us the same peace that he had in this world. Even when he was being arrested, he told Peter to put down the sword. It's all right. Are you in the same boat with Jesus? Or are you out in the storm doing your own thing? If you're in the same boat with Jesus, he's not going to let you go down. His peace is not the same as the world's peace. Listen, the world says, well, you go into therapy. I can't tell you how many people has a therapist. Oh, my soul! Are we crazy? Apparently. And you know what they want to do? Well, tell me, how did that make you feel? It doesn't matter how I feel. It matters what the Word of God says. If I cared about how I felt, I wouldn't have been here. I would have said, forget it. I think I can get my job back as a music director for Dr. Belcher. I think he didn't want me to leave anyway. In fact, he stood up there and told the whole church, apparently, this is not the will of God for Sterling. He's not supposed to go there. And I think part of it was he was just wishful thinking that I could turn around and come back. Maybe he was the guy that sent the dog. Maybe he was praying. I don't know. But it has nothing to do with my feelings. It has to do with everything with the Word of God, the truth. He says, peace I leave with you. But the verse before says this. These things have, Jesus says in John 14, 25, these things have I spoken to you being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, all the promises of God, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. They're trying to convince you to buck up, you know, this and everything. Listen, trust the Word of God. My peace, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Rejoice, Paul said, in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice, as he writes from prison. Let your moderation, your calmness, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What you all afraid about, guys?
They're right here.
I just had a long day. What, did you think the boat was going to go down? It's just a little wind. Hush. All right, let's give, guys. And they were about ready to go insane. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, makes no sense, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can have the peace of Jesus. Well, but he's Jesus. Yeah. And you're a son of God too. Children of God, joint heirs with Christ. Hope you have the peace. Father, thank you for your blessing. Baked to our heart here this morning. I don't know what's going on in the hearts. I just knew that I was supposed to preach this morning.
My guess, a lot of us are in a storm, a whirlwind. Things are coming at us from all different directions. And we don't know what to do. Jesus says, all right, let me calm the storm for you. But what you really need is to have the peace in even the midst of the storm. Just like I'll give you that peace if you'll take it. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.